This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Sean Dooley, Joy Drive's chief bird nerd.
Good afternoon, Sean Dooley. Sean, I've got to admit, I was absolutely shocked last week, as I'm sure a lot of people were, including yourself, to see on the news hundreds of these corellas just lying on the ground in Springvale. What went on?
Yeah, it was really dreadful, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was horrible. It was just, were they poisoned?
Yeah, I haven't actually been able to follow up with whether they were tested and what the testing shows, but it was fairly evident to us at BirdLife that these birds had been poisoned because some of the dead ones, and also the ones that went into care, they had bleeding from from the eyes and beak, which is really indicative of ingesting poison, in particular the sort of rodenticide, the rat poison, and we know this is a big problem, whether it's deliberate or not. You know, this second generation of rodenticide, I think I might have spoken to you about it earlier in the year, it's having a massive effect on our wild animals up the food chain, like birds that eat rats and mice, like owls and birds of prey, and even things like tawny frogmouths and kookaburras and magpies. And this stuff is freely available.
Like at Bunnings,
there's no
and places
restriction.
Like that.
Bunnings, Woolies, Coles, they all sell this stuff, and they don't differentiate between the products. Like I've been involved in this campaign since 2019, and I still can't tell you which ones are the safer products and which ones are the really bad ones because it's so confusing. We do have, BirdLife does have a website called Act for Birds, and you can look up the products and see which ones have are going to be the most disastrous. But clearly somebody in this instance has, it's not just been accidental, but, you know, and they've put bait out for rats, and then the rats have taken it and they don't die straight away, and then a frogmouth or an owl or something comes and gets it, and that gets a lethal dose. This is clearly somebody has put out grain laced in some sort of poison, because the birds that were killed were all seed eaters. It was mainly corellas, which I assume were the target birds, because corellas are fantastic, wonderful characters of birds, but they can get a bit annoying, and they're very loud, and can at times, when they form big flocks, do a bit of damage. So somebody's taken a dislike to them and thought they're going to get rid of them. And but it wasn't. This is the trouble with poison. Apart from the horrific injuries and deaths it causes in the target species, other birds get caught up in it too, and other animals. And there were the pictures I saw, there were dead crested pigeons, which, you know, wouldn't harm a fly. They're just completely lovely, quiet birds that don't do anyone any harm. And to see all those, I think it was over 200 corellas and a few cockatoos and other parrots and the pigeons. It was just distressing and heartbreaking and totally senseless. Like, these birds would move on. They move around, and they don't tend to stay in the one area for too long. Mm. They can be a bit loud and annoying at times, but, you know.
But they're protected too, aren't they? I
mean, yeah. Yeah, they are. They are native species, so they're protected. You can apply to the government, I think the Ag Department, for exemption from the Wildlife Act. So if there's a specific threat, and sometimes farmers get permits to cull birds like corellas and things, often in our opinion it's given out far too readily, but you cannot take the law into your own hands. And I really hope that the investigation leads to whoever did this, because it's just nasty and distressing, and, you know, what's your problem?
I agree. And the other thing is, too, I mean, I see there's a particular person in my area that puts out bread every morning on the nature strip, and when I walk my dog, I look at it. But, you know, it's eating it. The pest miners are eating it. So, and I'm noticing their numbers just going up and up and up. And I just want to say to this person, you know, I know they have the best of intentions and in thinking that they're helping the wildlife, but they're not, are they?
No, this is the thing. all the studies, especially in Australia, where it's, we, even though it feels really cold at the moment, it's still quite a benign climate for our wildlife. And it's not like in, say, you know, Canada or somewhere where birds often rely on bird feeders to get through the winter. That in Australia, the birds are doing fine. And the studies show that really the beneficiaries of people feeding birds are people, because it brings us delight to connect with nature. And a lot of people who feed the birds, they're actually under the misapprehension that the birds will starve without that food. But all the research shows, as one researcher says, they're not getting their, you know, a bird being fed by a person, it's not their main meal. It's basically a bonus cup of tea and a biscuit on top of what they're normally getting.
Right.
So there's no need to be feeding birds in terms of the bird's welfare. And in fact, sometimes there are issues because, you know, birds can gather in big flocks and they're not very good house guests, and they can spread disease among species that wouldn't normally gather together. But, you know, so that person thinks they're doing well, but as you say, they're actually, especially, and bread's not great for wild birds at all. They'll eat it, of course, but it's junk food, and we want our native animals that have survived in the tough streets of an urban landscape, we want them to be as healthy as possible. And if you think you're helping birds by feeding them just bread, it's really, you know, you're actually a bit misguided in that.
We're chatting with Sean Dooley, National Public Affairs Manager at BirdLife Australia, about the suspected mass poisoning of native corellas in Springvale a couple of weeks ago. Sean, if someone does want to help birds in their garden or their street, what is a safe way to do that without, I suppose, you know, risking disease or feeding them junk food? What's the best way to help birds?
The best way is you can, in the long term, if you can plant a bird-friendly garden, and you can do that even like on a balcony on your apartment, it's planting plants, trees, shrubs, particularly that middle story and lower layer. That's what's missing in our urban environments. Often we have lots of parks, not enough in some areas, but when we have a park, it's often just lawn and tall trees. And that suits very few species. And the ones it does suit are things like the noisy miner, the native bird, not the introduced Indian or common miner. But it also suits the common miners as well. And they tend to drive away all the smaller birds who don't have anywhere to hide. So if you've got a few little dense shrubs in your garden, that gives the capacity for those small, particularly the insect-eating birds, like thornbills and pardalotes, robins and things like that, if you're lucky enough to have them, that they can hide from the more aggressive birds in that denser shrubbery, and then they can come out when the coast is clear. Also, it provides nesting habitat and a lot more. Those layers provide a lot more insect life and potentially blossoms that they can eat. So that's a great long-term solution. Mm. Probably one of the best things you can do otherwise is put water out for birds. Even in winter, they'll come and they'll bathe in the water. But again, you want to be careful that you're not encouraging birds to spread disease. So you do need to keep your bird bath fairly sterilised and try and disinfect it, preferably daily, but at least, you know, every few days. So you don't want, as I said, they're not good house guests, birds, and they will foul the water that they're coming into.
But they're beautiful to watch. Sean, what if someone says, you know what, the corellas, or there are birds that are being a pest, and maybe they are damaging property or something like that. What can you do without having to go to this illegal practice of poisoning animals?
Yeah, it can be tricky, and you can sympathise. Like around where I live, they've actually dispersed in the last month, but there was a flock of well over 200 little corellas that were just, I felt sorry for my neighbour just down the street where they were roosting in gum trees in their house. Mm. And to have 200 noisy corellas all night, it can get a bit much. So you can sympathise, but, you know, these are native creatures. Generally, they don't hang around in the one spot for that long in the big flocks. It's more a seasonal thing, and it's only when there's food availability. So sometimes it might be, yeah, you know, you can try and move them on with noises and lights and things like that, but they're generally pretty smart and get the better of you. So it's a matter of really putting up with it for a short period of time. If it's birds coming and maybe trying to do damage on your roof or under the eaves or nesting under there, it's, you know, maybe you can stop up with wire and things like that, the cavities in your walls and roofs to stop them nesting. And that applies to things like the miners as well. But, yeah, it's a matter really of kind of just trying to be patient, and they will move on.
I had a nest in one of my just under one of my gutters, and I looked at it. This was last year, and there were little blue eggs in there. I'm assuming that's not the nice birds.
Yeah, that could be either the common miner, or also starlings have pale blue eggs with little blue specks on with little specks on them, and starlings will nest in roof cavities as well. So yeah, highly likely to be one of those two species, I'd say. Both of them introduced.
Now, Sean, on the other side of that heartbreaking story, there's something really uplifting happening involving swift parrots. Tell us this good news environmental story.
Yeah, I thought it'd be good to counteract the horrific story about the corellas with the story about a parrot at the other end of the scale in terms of how common it is. The swift parrot, I think we've spoken about this bird before. Mm. Down to, well, researchers were really worried. We have spoken about how their habitat, even though they're critically endangered and there's only a few hundred left, their habitat is still being actively logged in Tasmania where they nest. And then at this time of year, they fly across Bass Strait and they go from Victoria, sometimes all the way up to Queensland, following the blossom of the winter flowering eucalypts. But in New South Wales, the native forests that they rely on in drought years, like this year, are being logged as well. So these birds are hurtling towards extinction. And the researchers because they're so spread out, they're very hard to know how many there actually are left. And some of the researchers did some genetic work, and they were trying to figure out if they could map the entire population that existed through the genetics of the birds they sampled. And they were thinking that there was anywhere between 750 at a maximum, but fewer than 500 more likely of these beautiful little green parrots.
Oh, so few.
And so we were really concerned that there were fewer than 500, whereas just 20 years ago there were, you know, around 2,000. And 30, 40 years ago there were 8,000. So they're on a trajectory to extinction. Anyway, the great news is, possibly because of the drought, there's not much eucalypt flower. Like, it's weird. East Australia's got lots of water, but the sort of Victoria and the inland side of New South Wales where the swift parrots would normally be, they haven't had any water, very little rain, and so a lot of the eucalypts haven't flowered. And there was a patch near Bendigo that was in flower, and in May and June, the swift parrots started turning up there. And at one stage, there were 600 birds counted, which is actually more birds than we knew existed.
Oh, great.
We thought there could be as few as 500. So this is fantastic. It doesn't mean they're out of the woods yet. What it means is that, you know, we know there's at least 600, and there were some other sightings around the country, so we're pretty sure that 750 mark might be about what the population is. And it might be that there's so many because they had a good breeding season on the islands offshore from Tasmania, like Bruny Island this year, and so we're trying to work out how many young birds were there. And because it's such an arduous journey, a lot of the young birds never make it back. So we can't get ahead of ourselves and think that this bird is is improving its population. But it's certainly a really great sign. And I've been on Bruny Island where I've seen about 200 birds once, and that it's just magical to be among a flock of swift parrots as they ping and pipe as they fly through the forest. And to see 600, I was away. I was overseas when this happened. Yeah. I would have almost given up my African safari holiday to see that many swift parrots.
Instead, we saw something horrible happening in Springvale. But nevertheless, a good news story with the swift parrot, Sean. Sean, we've run out of time, unfortunately. So thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next month.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, Warren.
Thank you. That was Sean Dooley, National Public Affairs Manager for BirdLife Australia. If you have any information on the bird deaths in Springvale, you can call Crime Stoppers Victoria, 1-800-333-000. And that bird site that Sean mentioned as well, if you want to know about the second generation rat poison and what to avoid when you go to the hardware store or the supermarket, just go to actforbirds.org.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.